org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Sanjay and Jim Show here on WWDB Talk 860.
Hey, hey, hey.
We got a fantastic broadcast. Lots going on. We got some big hitters in the studio today.
Big hitters.
Thank you so much, Joe. And I appreciate that.
No, not you.
By the way, Dave, we have a lot more fun on this show than most other shows. I'm not just talking about myself when I say big hitters. Of course, our host, Jim Brady. What's going on, my friend?
This is our Christmas show.
That's right.
I brought our Christmas cookies from George's Bakery.
They look heavily manufactured, by the way.
I want to say,
come on.
was up all night doing them. Let me say something to Dr. Bruce Grossinger and Dave Stern, who were in the studio. This is the only show in America that has an official non-sponsor, which means we bring in, and we don't have it.
Because we did the cookies today.
Okay. Normally,
we're sponsored by Chick-fil-A.
Wait, hold on.
We're not sponsored by Chick-fil-A. We eat it.
I usually bring in a Chick-fil-A spread. George's. I told you, George's Market.
Big shout out
at,
here.
What's that say?
Yeah, you don't even know where you went. Market at Dreshertown.
Dreshertown. See, that we're supposed to be promoting these people. We're
delicious.
Dreshertown. Yes.
All right, well, this is our Christmas show. I'm going to present gifts.
Oh,
Bruce.
God.
Happy Hanukkah.
I take a medium,
smell them.
Of course.
Everybody has
David,
to do the sniff test.
Happy Hanukkah.
Because he puts them in his trunk.
Would you knock it off?
Dave, they're pre-warned, just so I know.
They're not pre-warned.
I heard he got them on eBay.
All right, give them back.
They came
give
right
everything
off of
back.
EBay. Pre-warned, pre-chewed.
Because one time they smelled like...
Stop it. Give me the shirt back. Give me my cookies.
So
you came empty-handed.
No, I'm brand new.
And underdressed.
Oh, wait a minute. We got the guests. The guests get the gifts. Well, I got that last week.
I don't even get my name.
A little stretched out.
The same shirt?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is. It's actually a nice shirt. I wear it at the shore.
Let's go.
I wear it to cleaning.
Let's go. And we got Marva Vittorello, the host
stains.
With the most in the house. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, we known you were wearing a hoodie, and you know, might have been a second. You know,
she did pass a metal detector, though. That's the good news.
Yeah. Sometimes I do.
So let's go around the horn, okay? And bring everybody into the show. David Stern, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
It's a definite pleasure. And if you would, a little bit about yourself and the firm.
Sure. My name is Dave Stern. I'm an attorney. One of the founding partners of the law firm Stern & Cohen. We are exclusively a workers' compensation law firm. We represent injured workers throughout the Delaware Valley and across the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I've been doing this a long time. I know the laws and injured workers' rights inside and out. And, I love helping people who are at their most desperate times.
Fantastic, and we're going to delve into that throughout the entire broadcast. Dr. Bruce Grossinger, if you will, sir.
Great to see you, Mr. Stern.
Likewise,
I want to
Doc.
Give an early pitch for Mr. Stern. We had one of the first test cases for a work-related stroke, as you recall. We prevailed, and now I've seen many that followed behind your leadership. So it's great to see you. I'm Dr. Bruce Grossinger, founding partner, Grossinger Neuropaid Specialist. I do sports medicine, neuro, and a lot of regenerative medicine, and I take care of injured people.
Fantastic. Marla Vittorello, if you will.
Hello, everybody. I'm Marla Vittorello with Synergy Pharmacy out in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania. We specialize in workers' compensation. We are a boutique pharmacy that provides overnight shipping and no out-of-pocket costs.
Fantastic. And, of course, Dr. Jim Brady, our host, if you will.
Dr. James Brady. You know, Bruce just gave me something to eat.
Yeah,
and I just
was going to say, put down the fratto.
I was, able to talk while chewing. Now, that's a Jewish thing.
Well, now, I couldn't get a word in. And I was thinking, that's ingenious. He shut me up in 2 seconds. But Dr. James Brady, chiropractor with offices in Ben Salem, Port Richmond, East Oak Lane. We treat patients with neck and back pain. We accept all insurances. And we would love to help you resolve your back pain.
And so having said that, it is the holiday season, okay, and it's a festive season, and we're very fortunate here. But for those of you, okay, and I'll have this broadcast, and it's awesome. I love seeing everybody and all that. But when I go back to my, you know, place of work, I'm going to go to another broadcast. You individuals are going to, like Dave said, be discussing and on the front lines with individuals who are, like you mentioned, in the, at the worst times of their life. So no matter, you know, how festive the day may seem for many, you know, you will not be, you know, just going back to the office and doing paperwork. What, Dave, what is the this time of year mean to you, number one, but also it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, sure, it's a challenge, right, Joe? I mean, you have to be able to turn it on and off. You know, when I'm helping my clients, this is a tough time of year. You know, a lot of workers' compensation claims are unrightfully denied, and my clients are home without income. Many of them were the breadwinners, and there's not a paycheck coming in the door. And, you know, that's not lost on myself and my firm. When we deal with folks this time of year, I know how tough it is for them. You know, this is definitely a sensitive time of year for my clients, for sure. Maybe they're used to, you know, being able to put a couple presents under the tree that they're not going to be able to do this year. So it's tough.
You know, it is emotional, okay? And when you mention turn it on and turn it off, that is a great way of putting it. You know, you literally going to go back to work, take a deep breath, and answer a phone call, okay? And then maybe a succession of phone calls. So when I say that the rest of us are, you know, going to go do whatever job we have, that job may be, may be difficult, but not something that is going to be a situation where we have to look at somebody and who's, like you said, not going to be buying presents or whatever the situation may be for this year, maybe not put food on the tables. That is part of the culture. Like, in other words, you can't, when you get to this point on this team with the firms and the practices, you don't get to this point without being able to successfully be a counselor, a legal counselor, a medical provider, but also, almost like a psychologist. How do you go about that process? And because it is business and retaining your clients is one, and you can't do it if you don't have that heart.
Oh, 100%. Your use of the word psychologist is apropos. I mean, sure, I practice law and I spend a good deal of time, counseling my clients on the law. But I spend a good deal of time just being, a soundboard, coming up with, strategies, for their mental state. So you're absolutely correct. And I add something else to what you were saying, just because I was speaking to a client today and we talked about, someone not being able to perhaps, put a gift under the tree or whatnot. You know, I spoke to a client today who lost her husband at work, this holiday season, that's a whole different scenario, and it's just
horrible.
Just horrible. And I would add, and I don't want to go too deep into it, but I would add that this is a situation where the insurance company is actually denying her claim for fatal benefits.
Wow.
And when she lost her husband about 6 months ago. So just an awful set of circumstances.
Do you see that often? Or
no, I mean, fortunately, a death case is, not commonplace, but it does happen.
And your firm can handle...
We handle.
I guess
these.
Your firm can handle minor injuries or catastrophic injuries,
all the way up. And Dr. Grossinger talked about the stroke case that him and I had together. He was my expert years ago. He did a fantastic job on behalf of the injured worker, not just in consulting this worker in his office, but also in providing deposition testimony. And I won the case and proved that the client suffered a stroke due to his work duties.
That's Dr. Bruce Grossinger, neurologist.
Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask Dave, what's your contact information? If a client's listening, they've been injured at work, whether it's minor, major, how would they get in contact with you?
Sure. The best way, either, go straight to our website, Stern, Stern, Cohen, Cohen, law.com.
That's easy.
Or phone 215-999-1443.
Now,
consultation is free, Dr. Brady.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Yep. Now, do they have to pay for any of these services?
Not at all. We only get paid in a workers' compensation case if we win.
Yeah, I want to amplify that point for Taylor and Dave, good friends of mine. It's very important that in our listening audience, many of your union brethren, that when you recognize a work injury, when you feel you've been injured at work, you should do two things. One is you need to notify somebody on site and make sure it gets documented. The second thing is you need to call a legal representation immediately. It will be free. They will work in the background. People are afraid that when they call a lawyer, they're going to be viewed as suing the employer as opposed to the grand bargain as far as an entitlement. Joe, you could amplify. You've given this speech so many times.
Well, what happens is, and we just had a situation recently where people, first of all, it's confidential to get that. That is the most comforting, and there's no out-of-pocket cost. That together, there's no way to lose. But what's interesting about that entire thing from a worker standpoint is, first thing, typically, you mentioned union workers, first thing we do, and I had a situation like this recently, is we go to our boss, because why wouldn't we, right? Because we go to the boss for everything else. Well, here's the way that typically happens. You go to the boss, if they're a boss and they don't own the company, say it's not a real small company, but it's a medium-sized company, you go to the boss, he'll send you to the company, they'll send you to one of those work comp places, those Concentra type places, and you know that you'll follow that protocol. But what you won't be doing is educating yourself and understanding what's going on. Here we are with this guy who was a foreman for 30 years. He's 6 weeks down the line. I got to text him, actually. I'll text him on the damn show. And he's hasn't been able to get an MRI or anything, okay? And unfortunately, that's because the insurance company is typically aligned with themselves, okay? They've talked about that and the fact that the normal protocols that you normally would do, where you'd ask your boss, if, by the way, where are we working next, or what's the next agenda during the day, it can be detrimental.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, if you got injured on the weekend, right, you would not allow someone to tell you what medical treatment you need, right? So why would that be any different than when you get hurt at work,
right?
Yeah. You know, like, you get hurt at work, why is it up to your employer or their insurance company what treatment you need? Why should they be deciding, Joe, if you need an MRI? Absolutely not. You know, it's important to take control of your own medical treatment. And the law allows for this. And there's all these myths out there that you can only see the company doctor. It's just simply not true. And, you know, you can consult with an attorney, you know, find medical treatment that's going to have your best interests at heart and you know, of no consequence to you.
One of the things that, and that's why we have Dr. Bruce and Dr. Brady and Marla on the broadcast, what's interesting is, what's shocking about the whole thing, I had an injury on my ankle, went to the emergency room, and the first thing they asked me is this a car accident or a work injury? And I'm like, well, why does that matter? one thing that's interesting about what you just said is, it's the first time in your life, if you've never gotten injured before on the job, where you ask, typically we're friends with our bosses, because I might be boss next time, it depends what the job is. But it's the first time in your life that if you don't educate yourself, that medical may be pushing back on you. Mm-hmm. And it's a shocking thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're used to your family doctor. Whoa, wait a second. Your family doctor all of a sudden can't handle
you. He can't see you.
Yeah. And so you're in a foreign situation. And by the time you get out of it, 6 to 8, where you need some help, here's you mentioned union, Bruce. So he called his business manager because he never saw a real doctor, and the physician's assistant.
Is that a slight on me?
No. He's seeing the physician's assistant, and so so he says, "Well, you haven't given me an MRI. I'm in this 6 weeks. I didn't want an MRI the first day, second week, third. But now I'm still in massive pain and." You're giving me a physical therapy regimen, and you don't really know what it is.
Yeah, they don't order.
So just to amplify that, last night I got a call from a paralegal at a workers' comp law firm here in the area. Her daughter got injured at work in the state of Florida. Luckily, I have a Florida license because someday when I'm with a wheelman and a gurney like the Horse and Animal House, I want to go there. But nonetheless,
how are you going to make the shows, though, Bruce? You can't call them in. You're going to have to travel once a week.
And I'll miss you if you're in Florida.
I will use your private plane, Joe.
Good luck with
so
that.
So this is what happened. So she went to an emergency room. She had workers' comp, a comp claim. They wouldn't see her. She went to an urgent care. They would not see her. They went to a family doctor and an orthopedic surgeon. And this lady, luckily, she's my friend, and I, modestly speaking, I think I could handle the case well. I'm going to go on a telemed with her daughter today. But this lady just literally couldn't see somebody. And there are plenty of family doctors and plenty of, in these big healthcare systems, that if you tell them that you have a workers' comp case or even a motor vehicle case pending, they will not see you.
Wow.
And it's really crazy. So it's important for the David Stearns of the world, the Dr. Brady's, to make sure the people in our network, our close network, the Marla Vittorellas.
So well, let me just say, let me just say
provide
this.
Provide them with medicines.
I have a question.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, my.
Yeah. Listen,
usually
here's the
somebody
I have.
Turns off my mic halfway through this show.
As a patient who is injured at work, if someone did not handle workers' comp regularly, just like I wouldn't want to go to an attorney who doesn't specialize in workers' comp.
No dabblers.
Right? I would prefer that the physician says, you know what, I don't handle workers' comp. You know, please step aside and go see the next doctor. Because not every doctor knows how to handle workers' comp.
Exactly.
And that beginning of that case, and like Dave pointed out, and, you know, the same with you guys, is that whoever sees the patient in the beginning controls the medical. So the longer they keep pushing it back, you know, whether it's 60, 90 days or
and that'll
180,
be used against you.
Then they try to you know, push it all the way
well,
back.
Well, let me just say that our number here is 888-329-3306, WWDB. If any listener has a legal question for David Stern concerning workman's compensation or any kind of neurological question, we have Bruce Grossinger here, a board-certified neurologist licensed in Pennsylvania,
Delaware,
Florida.
Look
at that. Oh, my gosh. I'm only licensed in Pennsylvania.
We're licensed in Florida, too, by the way.
Join the party.
Where are you
Florida's
at?
Florida's a beautiful state.
We're licensed in Florida for the pharmacy. So.
Get out. Really? Oh, I got to get a Florida license.
Yeah,
and I do want to move to Florida one day. 888-329-3306. Dave, tell us a little bit about your background. Where did you go to law school? Where did you grow up? College?
Sure. Yeah, so I'm actually a foreigner. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Northern Virginia, right outside Washington, D.C.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not
we were talking about this
I'm
earlier.
Not a Commanders fan. I am an Eagles fan. But I went to undergrad at University of Delaware, so became sort of acclimated with this area.
Now, did you move up, your family move up here, or did you just go to the University of Delaware?
I went to the University of Delaware. I was attracted to the school, and I actually played Division One baseball. Division One baseball. There,
are you kidding?
Heavy
me?
Hitters, by the way. Right?
What position did you play?
Literally heavy hitters.
Yeah,
I was a pitcher.
And there is a debate, you know, because I played a little ball myself.
Oh boy!
Oh god! Here we go.
And a steelworker.
You can listen.
Give him a cookie.
Hold on. He might have been a Division I baseball player, but
Bruce,
I coached the Iron Workers softball team.
You did?
He could buzz the tower. I'm moving closer to the plate, but go ahead.
And the nightclub owners went to.
What was your favorite pitch?
Fastball.
Yeah,
he's buzzing the tower.
What did you get up to? What speed?
So in college, I sort of was in the 87 to 89 range. Now, keep in mind, this was in the late 90s, a far different era than we live in now, where every kid throws 90 miles an hour and gets surgery on their elbow before they're 17.
Yep.
But then I went from Delaware to law school at Pitt.
Wow.
So I, you know, after Pitt, I studied for the Pennsylvania bar and came to Philadelphia. I've lived here, you know, for 25 years now. I've raised, you know, raising my family here. I love Philly.
How many kids do you have?
I have three.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you just laid out an entire show's worth of individual. For my first thought of when you said 87 to 89, tell that to Greg Maddux, right? He threw 87 to 89.
Yep.
And so it is awful odd that every kid's throwing 97 miles an hour.
I have a question. What do you think of that? Because my son is also in baseball, and he's a pitcher. He played, I think they won 89 games this year, which is a lot, and they only lost like six or seven.
Yeah.
89?
Yeah.
That's a full MLB
crazy.
Season.
Yeah.
Wow,
well,
that's impressive.
Bubble, and well, then they did their yeah. you know tournaments, which could be 5-6 games a weekend.
I was going to say, when I grew up playing baseball, I mean, we played baseball from what, you know, March to
and
September.
Football and
you know,
right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I played another sport, you know, maybe did nothing for a couple
right,
months.
Yeah.
Baseball, my son is 15, so he's kind of in the midst of this stuff too. Mm-hmm. Every sport has become so specialized now. It's,
yeah.
it's year round. These kids are throwing, you know, year round. These kids are picking up weights and lifting at,
yes.
you know, 13, 14. I didn't lift weights till I was 16, you yeah. know, and just a totally different animal than it ever was. And I don't think it's healthy. You know,
well,
I agree.
It's interesting agree. When you say that also, because the major league, the game itself, they're using 7-8 pitchers a yeah. game. How do you think Tony La Russa would have done? Remember, he used to come out he'd switch pitchers every. Now you have to pitch a full inning or three.
You have
three
to pitch
outs.
Three consecutive batters now, yeah.
But they're just yeah. special. You know, in yeah. other words, you pitch one inning two. I guess that's why they're throwing their arms out like going out. I mean, because they only got they know they're only going to be in there a few hitters.
Might
but,
as well.
It's
well, yeah,
nuts.
Santino's already stressing out because, you know, he's trying out. He's now in high school. He's 14 already. You believe it?
What no. position does he play?
He's a pitcher.
He is?
Yeah. So he's.
You talked to Dave.
He's already stressed out. Oh, absolutely. He's already stressed out about, you know, making the freshman team. And then he said, I could make a PO position, which is pitcher only.
Yeah.
yeah, for varsity. He said, I said, Santino, first of all, you're a freshman. Like, he's already freaking out. He's like, I'm not throwing enough. I got to hit. I got to get. He's not doing anything right now except lifting, and I'm trying to teach him how to, you know, lift and stretch because he doesn't want to stretch. Like, there's so many things that are missing, so they're propelling these kids so forward with the training, but missing the proper progression.
Yeah. How, by the way, how do you deal with the coaching of your son, knowing that you had a lot of success, you got to one of the highest levels, and now you have one of the things, and I think we all know this, when you're coaching kids, right?
It's Joe.
The truth. No, it's listen. You never.
Depending you wrecked our show.
But depending upon where you're at, you're at the mercy of whoever the coaching, you know, the coaches are.
I've always been really good at just being like down the baseline, just watching and not offering any input. You know.
Yeah.
You wow. know, let
me
too.
Let the coaches coach.
Yeah, you had a good point. I beat the
all right,
crap out
let me get us back on track. Yeah. We have David Stern here, who's a workman's compensation lawyer.
He opened up those.
Poor Joe couldn't control himself.
I have to tie this back because sports are
guys,
huge.
Guys, we have a call. We have a call.
Yeah, but listen, they're huge. We'll get to the call. One second. I just got to finish this thought for a minute.
Oh, gosh.
Sports are everything when it comes to competition. And this
oh,
is why Dave is such a successful
well, we'll
attorney.
Talk about that. Let's get our caller.
It's true. It's good leadership.
That's right. That, by the way, the law in sports.
Jim just never played a sport in his life.
Yes, I did.
He's
was very athletic.
Badminton doesn't count. Me.
All right, guys and ladies. All right, we have a caller. Michelle's on the line. How can we help you, Michelle?
How you doing? I was calling to ask a question about my girlfriend. She was in a car accident in Delaware.
Okay. Well, we do have someone from Delaware here. So.
Ooh, I've got Bruce has an office.
And well, maybe two. I could jump in here. Yes, I'm in Delaware, right in Claymont, and I have an office right on Philadelphia Pike in Claymont.
Dr. Bruce Grossinger.
And I will give you a number there. You write this down. It's a shameless plug, I guess. 610-521-6063. You're going to speak to a lady named Roz, R-O-Z. You're going to tell her that you called into the radio show. And I will directly call you back at 2:00 this afternoon to assist your friend. And it'll be my pleasure to help out.
And what's your question, Michelle?
Okay, she was in a car accident, but she don't know whether to come to Philly to get a lawyer or.
Oh, well, I got a suggestion there. Let our attorney, can help you do that, by the way.
Yeah, so. Michelle, the jurisdiction for a car accident is where it took place. Okay, so if the accident took place in Delaware, she's going to need a Delaware attorney. But you know, my firm, and if you call Dr. Grossinger first, he can connect you with my firm as well. But I can help your friend find the right lawyer for this case, without a doubt.
Yes, ma'am. As he said, Mr. Stern here has got tentacles all through this area, the Delaware Valley. What I'll do is, I'm handing him my cell phone now. I'm literally going to call him so he could be in the referral loop because he knows I do. I keep my head down and do the medicine. But as far as the legal part of things, I would rely on a legal specialist, somebody who's actually here, and that would be Mr. Stern.
Exactly. I did play a little high school baseball myself, but that's not important. Michelle, why don't you do
it? Leave it with the engineer.
She did? Okay.
We have a funny story. Dr. Grossinger handed David his phone to exchange numbers, but...
I don't know his password yet.
We have to have your password.
Don't you hate that? I have Marine cybersecurity, so he's looking at me. I thought he doesn't want to refer.
I'm very immature.
He's too busy.
I'm extremely immature, so never. I loved it.
Guys, let's take a quick break. We'll have more from the Sanjay and Jim show in just a moment.
Hashtag
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots. Toys, toys, toys for tots. Some have too many, some haven't any. If those who have give those who haven't, oh, what a Christmas day. The Marine Reserve will help you, will help you fill your sleigh with lots and lots of toys for tots. So give a little toy today.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
Eleanor steals your heart. She was diagnosed at 5 weeks old, a type of leukemia, and it's associated with Down syndrome. Being able to come to St. Jude was a blessing and the best place for her. Talking to the doctors and nurses, they were on top of it. They got this, we got this, it's gonna be okay, and we're gonna get through this. Here, it's like a celebration of life. There's so much great stuff happening. The doctors and nurses are her best friends, and you can tell that they love her, and you could tell she loves them, and that relationship is just amazing. We're just so grateful for them.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
All right, we're back. Sanjay and Jim show. We have David Stern in the house, workman's compensation attorney, and our other special guest, and I mean that in a very special way, Dr. Bruce Grossinger, who is a neurologist. Our phone number here is 888-329-3306. If you have any questions for a workman's compensation lawyer, David Stern, or neurologist, Bruce Grossinger. Let me ask you some questions, Bruce. You know, this is great.
And the girl with the hoodie.
Oh, my gosh.
We forgot.
Wow. And you know who we should have an empty seat with flowers in it for Sanjay. Sanjay, he's never here.
Oh, but listen, no.
He's
in
India.
He's in India. So,
yeah,
you know,
he's very,
he travels
very rich.
And he does
his
thing.
Call him from India? What's up?
He's very rich.
Oh, you know, we should have had
him WhatsApp. He could do WhatsApp for free. Which
he's got a house
amazing.
In Florida.
It might be midnight there.
Langhorne in India.
Yeah. Well, he has family over there, too.
And he's not even here to defend himself. I can say whatever I want.
We love Sanjay.
Well, hold on for a second. When you... It's your show, and you don't show up. The show's about you.
Yes.
So we have a lot of bad things we can say about the doc right now.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
We just don't... We may not have time, but he'll regret not coming here when he hears the podcast.
Oh, my God.
All right, so, Bruce, tell us about your background. This is so exciting because I consider you a good friend. I refer to you. I think you're an excellent neurologist, and it's so great to be here interacting with you and interviewing you now. So tell us about your background. Where did you go to college?
Great. So I grew up in Delaware County, in Havertown, Haverford High. I went to Lehigh University, and then I went to medical school. I could see my medical school from our perch here. This
we can
beautiful
throw a rock.
So
we'll filled break off, the window.
Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. I could hit a half a pitching wedge. My golf friend here, Dave. And so I'm a proud graduate. And then I went to New York Medical College for 3 years and became a chief resident there in neurology.
Wow.
Then I met my wife in New York, and I dragged her to Louisville, Kentucky, where she was very quiet for the first month.
And you still hear about it.
She cried when we got there. She cried when we left. We had a great year.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I did an EMG fellowship. And then finally, I went out west. I went to Stanford University for a fellowship in pain management and regenerative medicine in PRP and stem cell transplantation.
Wow. And I want to talk to you about that today.
And I started my practice in 1990. So 34 years goes pretty quickly.
How many patients do you think you've treated over the years?
Two.
I don't know.
Joe, come on.
How many jelly beans are in that jar?
You just wrecked the show.
I actually tried to figure that out. I think it's over 100,000.
Are you kidding me?
I was actually being deposed on a case that happens a bit.
100,000? I'm like 20,000.
But
I said
you could fill every stadium of the NFL with my patients, but if you do something long enough, if you see 30 patients a day for 34 years, on weekdays and occasional Saturdays, it adds up.
Wow. Boy, that's a lot of experience. Now, you touched on something that I think is the future, which is stem cells. Can you tell us about that?
Well, firstly, all stem cells are not created equally. There is I won't mention the name. I'll just say that the initial
spell. Am I getting brought into this?
Not at all. I'm dragging you in as an unwilling
defendant.
I need
another cookie, so I shut up.
Yeah. So for all you out there, there's a company that's initials are Quack, literally Quack. And they've really taken over the market on every radio station. You've all heard of them. They basically spend 99% of their money on marketing and 1% on finding doctors that are competent. So they came into this market about 4 years ago. So what I would say is there's a handful of doctors that use real stem cells. By that, this is bone marrow harvested in an operating room, concentrated and then injected into a joint, such as a shoulder, knee, and hip, or a back. And then the magic occurs. And I've been doing this for a long time, as well as platelet-rich plasma, which if you heard about Joel Embiid, if you remember Terrell Owens, he was one of the first PRP candidates. He played in the 2004 Super Bowl with a broken foot. And PRP and hyperbaric oxygen allowed him to be 3 points away from being the MVP in that event in Jacksonville. So for all the people in the listening audience, that's something available, and workers' comp covers PRP. There are CPT codes. So let's say you have a rotator cuff tear, or you have a tear of the knee, a meniscus. Let's say you are a guy like Jared McClain, who just had a tear of the lateral meniscus. If there is not a free flap, Jared himself, if he's listening, he might be a candidate for PRP. PRP involves blood products, no drugs, no cutting, and instant treatment. And then we wait for them, and within 1 to 3 months, often a full and complete recovery. Seth Joyner has done ads for me, so I'm not violating HIPAA. Wilbert Montgomery, Seth Joyner. There's another radio host on a different station who we all know who's coming in for a shoulder, and he played in the league for about 12 years. So
tell us about the procedure. Is it painful?
It really is not. So imagine, let's say you have a shoulder problem. Imagine just getting a cortisone shot. Which that's exactly the same feeling. So we draw blood for PRP. We put it in a centrifuge. I can concentrate this to 2 million platelets per deciliter. So basically,
which I don't need. I have no idea what that means.
It's a lot of cookies.
It's a lot of cookies.
It's a lot of platelets. As
right,
we say in that commercial, it's like
let's talk cookies. Like, how many cookies would that be?
A lot more than we have on this table, and probably more than the patients I've seen in 34 years.
Wow.
So all it is blood drawing, concentration, and injecting. Let's say it's Seth Joyner. I injected in his back. He likes to play golf every single day, and he lives in. So we did PRP and stem cell for him. He basically had zero recovery. He iced. He flew back to Scottsdale with his lovely wife, Kendra. And much like Wilbur Montgomery, he lives in Sarasota.
All right, let's bring Dave in this.
So that's it. So we could talk about.
Did you ever have any injuries playing baseball? I'm going to be like Joe now. I'm going to talk about that. This is David Stern, workers' compensation attorney. Go ahead.
No injuries.
Thank
you. That put me on the sideline. I walked around every day with a sore arm, but I was never quote unquote injured.
Good.
That's great.
Now, somebody that did injure their elbow, they could do your stem cells.
Exactly. And even if somebody has a partial tear of the ulnar collateral ligament, just like Bryce Harper, he had a partial tear. He actually had PRP. That was well publicized. I was not the doctor, But it enabled him to complete the season in the playoffs. Then he went for a repair in the offseason.
Why don't people do this more often, though?
I don't think they know. I think the orthopedic bar, the orthopedists are very dominant in terms of everything, marketing, money, and everything. And a lot of times they have a disincentive to get people better without surgery. Well, I hate to be cynical, but I think there's an element of this model.
And I know PRP is covered by workers' comp, you mentioned, but some of the major, like some of the Blue Crosses and Aetnas, do they not cover PRP?
So that is correct.
So it's cost prohibitive for some folks who are not like injured workers or whatnot, too.
Exactly, true. So if it's not workers' comp or if it's not motor vehicle, for instance, I would attach my bill for any case. What we do is, it's for that quack group, they actually make you write a check for $10,000 before you do anything.
Right.
In our practice, without getting into numbers, we make it exponentially more affordable.
Nice.
Oh, that's
so
great.
We have a caller on the line, Tara. Tara.
Is this for David Stern, workers' comp lawyer, or Bruce Grossinger, neurologist?
We'll find out. Tara, how can we help you?
I have a question for the neurologist.
Okay.
Hi, Tara.
Hi. I had a knee replacement. I guess now 6 years ago, maybe?
I'll take a stock. Go ahead.
Everything's fine with it, but I still get a ghost pain almost. Is that normal?
I don't think it's normal. There are a few things it could be just by speaking to you. There's a differential diagnosis. There are a lot of nerves that surround the knee, including the femoral nerve and the saphenous nerve. So it's possible that you might have a partial nerve irritation or neuralgia about the knee. You could also have an extra capsular problem with some of the muscles, ligaments, and tendons that it tapped. I'm sure the orthosis is in perfectly good shape. But there are instances where the tissue surrounding, such as the ligaments, tendons, quad muscles, hamstring muscles, all those boring Latin-named muscles, may be involved. So a consultation with me may enable us to put, we need a diagnosis before we do treatment. This may be a treatable problem.
Oh, okay.
Now, would your stem cells help?
At this point, I think that'd be jumping the gun. There's nothing better than a hands-on consultation. For instance, if she has a saphenous neuropathy or even a febrile neuropathy, there may be something where I could actually block that using a neurolytic substance, something that will block the numbness or even enhance. So I would say potentially PRP would help the surrounding musculoskeletal tissues. If I identify, like one of my friends, who's an attorney actually, who had a hip replacement at Penn, I won't mention the doctor's name, and he still has a torn gluteus. So when this patient came to me, you'd think he went to Penn, and my daughter's at Penn, so I'm not disparaging the institution. So this person, my friend, came in, and I did stem cell after an orthosis, after a replacement. I MRI'd it, and I saw that there was a persistent tear. So I don't know if Tara has that circumstance. That's not common, but it is possible.
Tara, why don't you give our producer your number, and Dr. Grossinger will get in touch with you after the broadcast.
Look forward to talking to you, Tara.
Now, Tara, before you hang up, did this happen at your employment? Because we have David Stern, workers' compensation lawyer. Okay.
Not employment.
All right, thanks anyway.
Well, thanks for your call. Give TJ your information. Thanks so much for calling.
888-329-3306.
Bruce, you just said something a little while ago when I want to talk, kind of make an analogy with David. You talk about and other companies that, you know, they do it differently. It's almost like a meat market. One of the things that I wanted to talk about with David was, I did touch on it earlier, is dabblers. Okay, in workers, I've talked to personal injury attorneys who are reputable personal injury attorneys, and they have said they dabbled in workers' comp and got the hell out of it because it's such a specialized area. And listeners who may not be injured and, you know, unfortunately will get injured, they may have a friend of a friend who does wills and estates and all that's going to talk about the specialization of workers' compensation and why it's important to have somebody who does it every day.
I mean, law is like, you know, is like medicine, you know, like you could go to a variety of different doctors if you have a neurological issue, but why wouldn't you go to Dr. Grossinger? He's the specialist, right?
Sure.
So the law is the exact same way, you know, the could some people potentially get by and handle a workers' comp case and not screw it up if that's not their specialty? They might. They might. But there's so many nuances that, you know, I might look at the same case and say, well, you did miss this and you did miss that to the client's detriment. So, yeah, having someone that knows this stuff backwards and forwards like my firm is where you want to be with your work injury case, not with someone who does a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a little bit of workers'
comp. Let me just ask this question. We're coming up into the snowy weather season. If somebody falls at their employment, I just had this idea. Say they're in the parking lot and they fall. Would they have a third-party claim against the landscaper or whoever is in charge of?
Well, I would say two things to that. Number one is they, just because they're in the parking lot and maybe didn't clock in yet, the law is still very favorable and they would on these issues, and they would probably have a workers' comp case even though they were still in the parking lot. Second, to directly address your question, Dr. Brady, they would possibly have a case against whomever was responsible for snow removal, right? So if their employer is the one that was responsible for the removing the snow, they would probably be stuck with their workers' compensation case only. However, if snow removal is done by an outside contractor, was not done properly, hence causing the fall, they would have two cases, right? A case against the landscaper company, like you mentioned, and their workers' comp case.
Wow.
Dr. Brady, another thing.
Good question.
For the listeners out there, Stern and Cohen, they have considerable resources as far as investigating these type of situations. So you don't have to pay the investigator. This is something that could be determined. And a lot of times the owner will try to shield liability from the third party, but there may be a third party. There might be another distinct entity that could be teased out and separated that could be, and I sound like a lawyer, could be a viable source of a third party case.
So if you're imagine, you know, you're on a construction site and it's not owned by your employer, you're just, you know, you're walking on the construction site, like Dr. Brady said, and, you know, you, and this, by the
I
way,
feel so important. Everybody's saying my name. I like that.
And you all of a sudden fall, or, you know, ice, whatever the situation is. Maybe it's an oil spill or whatever, but you damage your, now that would be a definition of.
Joe, I would say with 9 times out of 10, a slip and fall or trip and fall on a construction site, there's going to be a third-party case too, because ultimately the safety of the job site is sort of falls on the general contractor, right? And in most circumstances, no one's actually working for the GC. They're working for all the subs. So when there's a danger on the job site that causes someone to have a work injury, the odds are exceptionally high that they're going to have a third-party case against the general contractor and potentially others, but at a minimum, the general contractor.
What should they do? And I think one of the doctors had mentioned, obviously you got to report it to somebody and all that, but what, aside from that, what should the job steward do when they see one of their members get injured in regards to, you know, maybe that mess that that somebody slipped on or tripped over may not be there, you know, the evidence could get disappeared for some reason. What should somebody do along with reporting it to their boss when it comes to, evidence?
I mean, listen, in the most perfect of scenarios, if you have the wherewithal to, you know, take a photograph, you know, that, of course, would probably be ideal, Joe. But sometimes you have an injury that is significant enough that that's the last thing on your mind, obviously.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot of times on these larger sites, as you know real well, is someone in safety is responsible for writing
the
up.
The job steward, that's correct. What I'm saying, right.
Yeah, so someone has to sort of write up a report and document it. So, you know, and listen, the plaintiff, you know, the injured person's word can be enough. But obviously having some supporting evidence is helpful too.
David, tell us something about product liability in workers' comp. Say somebody's using a piece of equipment that fails. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Yes, similar to the slip and fall cases that we talked about. You know, like let's say you're a factory worker and you sustain an injury while you're working that is caused by the machine that you use, and it's a defect in the machine that, and 9 times out of 10, if there's a defect in a machine, the company that made the machine or the supplier, they probably knew about it and just didn't want to take the spend the money to
or the servicing company that
services
or
that. The servicing company.
That would make it a third party case, right?
That would make it a third party case. You'd have the workers' comp action against your employer.
Now, you would have multiple plaintiffs on that, correct? Or
defendants?
Yeah.
Potentially. Potentially. Yeah.
Here's the opposite question. If you stick your hand, unfortunately, in a machine that has no defects, it's still work comp. It's it's no fault, correct?
That's absolutely correct. Yeah. So workers' comp is a no-fault system. It's funny you ask that question, Joe, because a lot of times people are sort of like, oh, no, like that accident was my fault, you know. Doesn't matter. Even if you're at fault, no one was at fault. You have a claim for your lost wage benefits. You have a claim for getting your medical bills paid and potentially some other damages that workers' comp cases bring. So, you know, don't worry about fault when it comes to your work injury case.
I want to amplify that point. That happens to me all the time where people come in and they'll say, I made the mistake. You know, I was working an oil rig and I shouldn't have put my hand in this machine. And they say, I'm going to give you your general health. I say, no. And again, a lawyer will oversee this. But the fact is, even if it was not your fault, if it's the scope of your employment, you're entitled to workers' comp. And a lot of people do not know this.
People getting in a fight at work also, right? Is that something?
Or getting assaulted at work, having a psychological
breakdown.
Meltdown because there's so much stress in the workplace that they actually melt out and it undergoes psychiatric injuries. I have a case like that in New Jersey right now.
Yeah, well, so to first address Marla's question, generally speaking, if there's a fight at work, you get assaulted at work and you're injured, you most likely have a claim. The rare instance where you may not is if it's what's called personal animus, right? So let's say you and a coworker get into a fight because you both like the same woman, you know.
That's, at work.
That's not true.
But she has to work there.
We're all in love with Marla. Right. That could be a true scenario.
I'm just going to say, me and Jim and Dr. is going to get
we're
nuts.
We're going to duke it out in the parking lot.
I love that.
And we're
going to
suit WWDB. Will be.
The two of you are
and while the two
down.
Of you are fighting, I'll put Marla in my car and drive away quickly.
That's why you're the smart doctor.
And then I'm going to smell like your T-shirts. I had to just jab it in there. Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry. Go ahead. We all digress.
No, that was it. Like, you know, but that's the rare circumstance. Let's be honest. Most disputes that arise at work are over something that happened. You know, somebody's upset with the way you did something, or that you didn't do something, or you know, the supervisor tells someone what to do, and they get upset about it and punch their supervisor in the face.
Here's we only have 4 minutes left, and we're going to get around the horn and make sure we give everybody a shout out. But here's something interesting. What if your work? You know, the pandemic. As put, you know, there's been a lot of changes in workplaces. Mm-hmm. What if somebody's working at home, okay, walking down the steps, so and trips or slips and go, you know, and gets injured? What are your challenges in that type of situation? And are they covered in general, for work comp?
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't see this a lot, but you know, I think that would be a workers' comp case. You know, if you're working from home and you fall, you know, there could be some nuances if it was technically your lunch hour and you fell. But if you're sort of in the midst of what would normally be considered to be your workday and you're going down the stairs and you fall, that would be a workers' comp case for sure.
Yeah.
Learned that. That's something new today.
Let's go around the horn. We have 3 minutes left, and I'm going to give everybody ample time. David, one more time, if you would, contact information for yourself and the firm.
Sure. It's Attorney Dave Stern, Stern, and website is sterncohenlaw.com, and the phone is 215-999-1443.
Marla Vitarello, if you will.
I will be very quick. Marla Vitarello with Synergy Pharmacy out in Bridgeport, PA, synergyscripts.com.
Fantastic. Dr. Bruce Grossinger.
We are right next to the airport in Ridley Township. Exciting Delco, available to all points in Philly. And we are Grossinger Neuro Pain. I am Bruce Grossinger, and we have operators on duty right now. 610-521-6063.
Dr. Jim Brady, if you
Dr.
will.
James Brady, chiropractor. We treat neck and back pain. We accept all insurances. We have offices in Port Richmond, Ben Salem, East Oak Lane, 215-245-1000. And missing is Sanjay Magnani, Oxford Valley Pain and Spine. He's a physiatrist and a pain management specialist.
Fantastic. I want to shout out TJ, our producer, for making it happen. Certainly, Dave, great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Awesome
fun.
Show.
Doctor, thank you for being here.
Oh, absolutely. Doc, any closing words? How much time we got left, TJ? 2 minutes, so we got plenty of time. I just want to make sure.
Jim's going
to
sing for us.
Happy holiday sentiments to all of our listeners out there. Everybody ready for the holiday season.
Yeah.
I'll say something, Joe, because we didn't get to really shout out Marla today. You know, I think injured workers, a lot of them are not aware, you know, from having represented, you know, thousands of injured workers, aware that they do have access to pharmacy services, even if their claim has been denied. I have a lot of clients who will call me up and say, you know, I went to the doctor, but my claim is denied and I got this script. What do I do? And, you know, companies like Synergy, Marla's company that provide this service to injured workers has been a real game changer for our clients who can still access medications, you know, even when their claims are denied. And people should be aware of that service if they find themselves in that situation.
So if you have clients that are injured, Dave, you can send them to Synergy Pharmacy and they get their medication for free.
They get it for free, and Synergy, you know, sort of gambles on Dave Stern, right? That I'm gonna win the case, and I'm gonna get the pharmacy repaid for their services at the successful conclusion of the case, and we usually do. Yeah.
And there's no charge for your services.
A lot of the people who are seriously injured who you represent, Mr. Stern, can't really wait in that line at Rite Aid, Walgreens, and they can't wait for that pharmacist. They are infirm.
That's a great
point.
They
deserve home delivery.
Thank you, guys.
So this is secure home delivery by Synergy Pharmacy.
Yeah, we exist for that exact reason. You know, this is how the pharmacy evolved from the beginning, and, you know, we needed a place to help our patients.
The whole thing, it could put somebody in a twilight zone. If they got injured working hard for their employer, imagine they've been there for years, and all of a sudden they're getting treated poorly, and you try to go to CVS or something like that, and it's they won't treat it. They're like, you're sitting there going, I'm working for my family every day.
Well, you know what happens is the pharmacist calls the insurance adjuster, right? And what is the odds that the insurance adjuster is going to answer the phone and say yes?
Yeah.
Right.
Very small.
Very small. And that's the thing, too.
They get paid when they deny. They get bonuses. They don't retain employment when they acknowledge such things.
And it's a teamwork, you know. So we're the pharmacy, and like I said, we exist because of the needs of the client and the patient. So, but we rely on fantastic attorneys like Dave Stern and doctors like Jim and Bruce here to, you know, really take it over the top for this client.
All right. That wraps it up for the day. Thanks for joining us on the Sanjay and Jim Show here on WWDB Talk 860. Thanks to David Stern, Dr. Bruce Grossinger, Marla Vittoreau, Sanjay Magnani, and our host, Dr. Jim Brady, and of course, TJ, our producer. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I'm Joe Dock.
Thank you.